Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Dear Father, dear friends, a great pleasure to be able to provide the Holy Sacrament of Confirmation, one of the seven sacraments instituted directly by our Lord Himself as a channel of grace, of supernatural and sanctifying grace, to help us, if we wish, to get to heaven. How many people today even think of getting to heaven? How many people believe in heaven? How many people believe in hell? Funnily enough, perhaps a lot of people know that they're going to hell, but they still don't want to go to heaven. It's we poor human beings. We are naughty. Let us think for a moment. The Lord God is, of course, completely just. Completely and absolutely just. How could He? Every human being has an immortal soul. Every single human being has a soul which will separate from the body at the moment of death, but the soul will never perish. The body perishes because it no longer has the soul, but the soul cannot perish. The soul will be separated from its body until the general judgment. At the end of the world, all souls and bodies will reunite. Of the blessed to go to heaven, body and soul, and of the damned to go to hell, body and soul. Every one of us has an immortal soul. Every one of us that's reached the age of reason must spend eternity never ends in hell or in heaven. And we have this little life. It's a little life, even if it's 70, 80, 90 years. It's still a short life. It goes by very fast. The psalm says we perish like the grass. We're here today, flourishing. Tomorrow, says the psalm, thrown into the oven. Burned. Finished. In this short life, we only have this short life in order to go to heaven. That's the only reason God created us. That He gave us free will, and whether we go to heaven or not depends upon His grace and upon our choice. Everyone that will get to heaven will be there by the help of God and by His choice. And everyone that goes to hell will be there despite the help of God and by His choice. And so, how could God create a soul without offering to it all that it needs in order to get to heaven? It wouldn't be just. God is just, and therefore we know that every soul has all that it needs in order to choose heaven and avoid hell. And it follows also that every soul that falls into hell must know that it's falling into hell. If it didn't know what it was choosing, it couldn't be choosing. It's a choice on which eternity depends. How could a soul make that choice if it didn't know what the choice was? And therefore, souls know. They pretend not to know. They disguise the reality from themselves. They hide from themselves. They hide themselves from others. They pretend that they are virtuous and they're on the way to heaven, even if they know deep down they're on the way to hell. Or they know they're on the way to hell and they say they don't care. I know I'm going to hell, but at least I shan't need any central heating. They make a joke about it. But souls do know. God could not be just if souls did not know God is just, and therefore souls do know. They pretend they don't, but they do. And all of the souls around us, they hide from themselves, they hide from others, they pretend to be virtuous maybe. And they're on the way to hell, and deep down they know it. They are fighting God. They're resisting God. They are making war on God. They want to do it their way and not God's way. And so God will let them fall into hell, where they will be under God, but in their own way, in their own angry and protesting way. And that's what they want. They want to go on fighting. They fought God in this life, and they're going to go on fighting him for eternity. He will win, of course. They will be crushed in the terrible punishments of hell. But at least they will still be raising their fists. They will still be angry with God. They will still be fighting God, which is what they want, which is what they are choosing and what they will have chosen by the time they die. And so the Lord God says, you want to fight me? You want to go on fighting me for all eternity? I don't want you to, but if you want to, I leave you free. I gave you free will. I'm not going to take away the free will I gave you. And so if that's the choice you make, you choose hell. And then at the moment of death, they say, every soul for a moment, for a flash, sees God as he is, in all his splendid beauty. Every soul for a moment. And then the soul that's damned, the soul that has chosen to fight God, the very next instant, it realizes what it's done. It realizes that it's refused God, that it wants to fight, that it's chosen to fight God. And therefore, the soul flings itself into hell in order to get as far away as possible from God, from the God that it's refused. That's how they describe that moment of death for the damned. And so the soul, and it even seems a mercy of God that the soul is able to get away from him, because the soul that has refused him cannot bear to be anywhere near God. And so hell is a mercy in the sense that he's able to get some distance away from God. And there he will stay for all eternity, for all eternity, fighting God, to such an extent that if our Lord Jesus Christ could visit hell, but if he visited hell in order to offer mercy and forgiveness to these souls, they'd refuse. That's why our Lord doesn't visit hell, because it would be no use. These souls, their free will is now fixed forever in the hatred of God. Tremendous mystery. St. Dominic Guzman, the founder of the Dominican Order, once spent a whole night in prayer meditating upon the damnation of one single soul. The damnation of one single soul is a tremendous mystery. It's a mystery as tremendous as the greatness of God and the greatness of free will. The greatness of one soul and the greatness of that soul's free will. A free will able to choose. Am I going to live my life? Do I want to spend eternity under God, happy in God's way, or under God, unhappy in my way? In any case, I'm under God. He is God. I'm just a creature. I can't resist God. But I can try to. And if I try to, if I refuse his love, if I refuse his offer of heaven, if I refuse this tremendous happiness that he made possible for me and that he gave me the chance for by giving me life, if I refuse that because I want to fight him, I've deserved a tremendous punishment, and it will last for eternity. St. Augustine once said something like, if you want to know how terrible hell is, look at the cross. If you want to know how beautiful heaven is, look at the cross. If you want to know how terrible sin is, look at the cross. If you want to know how great is the love of God, look at the cross. He has a long list. All things, all these great, great, great lessons, all these tremendous truths are clear in the cross, from the cross. The cross is what it cost our Lord to save us from ourselves, save us from our sins, and open heaven for us. But heaven is open through our Lord Jesus Christ, not through any other religion, and not through Protestantism, which is a revolt against Catholicism. It's a revolt against the church that our Lord founded. Martin Luther is not a saint in his behavior or in his words. If you look at the fruits of Martin Luther, Protestantism is behind all of the troubles of the modern world, really. The modern world really broke out with Protestantism, broke out with Martin Luther. So Protestantism is not the answer. The only thing that's good in Protestantism, like here, is what's carried over from Catholicism. The lovely stained glass, the nice architecture. The Anglicans carried this over in their version of Protestantism, but they don't obey God. They don't have the seven sacraments. They don't have the real presence. They don't have the real mass. They don't have the real sacrifice. They don't have confession. Or if they do, it's only optional, and then there's no real absolution because there are no valid priests in the Anglican Church, unless they cheat. And therefore, it's not the will of God. It's an appearance, but it's not the substance. It's not the reality. And this is a very Catholic kind, or a comparatively Catholic kind of Protestantism. Obviously, there's Calvinist Protestantism, which is much more cruel, much more cold, much less Catholic. But this is not Catholic here. It's beautiful, with a beauty that they inherited from the Catholic Church. This architecture, this stained glass, all of these things. It's a lovely pulpit, the woodwork. It's all Catholic, originally. The benches. But the substance is not there. Well, the Lord God has given to you and to me, or most of us, he's given to the gift of the faith, and so you and I understand what are the seven sacraments. What is sanctifying grace? The importance of sanctifying grace, the importance of the sacraments, the importance of obeying God, the importance of getting to confession in order to confess our sins. We are sinners. Catholics know that they're sinners, but they try not to be. Many people out in the world, many Protestants think they're not sinners and make no effort in not to be. Well, they do make some effort to avoid certain sins. But they don't understand all of their sins. They're proud, many of them, proud. Pride is the great sin that sends people to hell. And confession. Either I'm going to be proud and I'm not going to confession, or I'm going to go to confession. If I keep going to confession, it's very difficult to be proud, because each time I go to confession, I know I'm a poor sinner. So the church, the Catholic Church, the Church of our Lord has these seven sacraments, including today, for a few of you, confirmation, which carries a special grace of strength, of firmness, confirmation. A grace of strength, of spiritual strength. Just like baptism and holy orders, you only need to receive the sacrament once. If you received it the first time doubtfully, then you receive it a second time in order to be, if it was valid the first time, the second time is nothing. If it was invalid the first time, then the second time it is valid. So it's conditional. If you receive it the second time, only conditionally, because the first time has a doubt about it. If the first time was valid, says the bishop, then I confirm you if the first time wasn't valid. So the bishop anoints the forehead with holy oil, which is solemnly consecrated on Holy Thursday, the Thursday of Holy Week. And as he, without all of the sacraments, together with the physical gesture, which is necessary, by our Lord's choice, it's necessary. There has to be the oil anointing the forehead, and the words that the bishop speaks. And with the words and the oil, with the physical action and the words to accompany, like in baptism, the pouring of water and the words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And the water must touch the skin because it must represent a washing. There has to be a washing. The soul is washed of original sin. The soul has to be anointed with holy oil, with holy chrism. And the chrism must, again, touch the forehead. And the words spoken together with the physical action. And then the Lord God pours through that tiny little physical action and words, he pours grace into the soul. You and I can't see the grace going into the soul. It's spiritual and it's invisible. But the grace goes through that tiny little action. Like a great mass of vehicles will go through one little tunnel and then spread out when they reach the other side. But they have to go through that tunnel to reach the other side. The grace of God, our Lord chooses to have his immense grace go down through a few little words and a tiny little action, and then it spreads out again in the soul to sanctify the soul. And in this case, the case of confirmation, to give it strength. Heaven knows if today we need spiritual strength. I was quoting last night Dr. White. Dr. White is a Catholic in the United States, and he just says, Catholics in the United States today, those Catholics who have the faith, are like mountain climbers hanging on to the cliff face by their fingertips, just by their fingertips. Very easy to let go and fall down into the abyss. Very easy to give up being a Catholic. Very easy to go with the flow. More and more people in this crazy world of ours are giving up and just letting themselves go with the flow. It's so much easier. Instead of resisting, swimming against this. The current is more and more powerful. It takes more and more effort to swim against the current. But if you and I want to be sure of getting to heaven, that's what you and I must do. God doesn't change. The world is changing all the time. Today, the world is changing all the time for the worst. It's getting worse and worse. It's getting more corrupt every day. Just look at television, the internet, and the rest of it. And that's just, those are not the worst sins which are against God, not the sins of the flesh. Sins of the flesh are bad. There are enough to send souls to hell, many souls to hell, but they're not the worst. The worst sins are the sins against God. And there are many of those. The sins against the children. The sins against innocence. The sins corrupting innocence today. The children, the education, the schools. Our Lord says, it would be better if a man had a millstone hung around his neck and he was thrown into the sea, rather than that he should corrupt any of these little innocent souls. And the schools, colleges and universities today are just places of corruption. Broadly speaking, places of corruption. And they're meant to be places, they should be Catholic, they should all be Catholic, all of these schools and universities, colleges, they should all be Catholic, they should all be teaching souls what they need to know in order to be able to choose to go to heaven. And souls are not being given that. They're being given this corruption. The children don't even have an idea. In many of the children's schools today, it is forbidden to mention God. In the United States, for instance, in the name of the First Amendment, in the name of religious liberty, you may not bring religion into the school. Religion is banned from education. The one thing the children should be learning, how to get to heaven, is the one thing they're absolutely forbidden to learn. How can the Lord God stand it? And the situation is more and more perverse, more and more corrupt every day. My dear friends, let us persevere. There is a tremendous war. The more difficult the situation is, the more difficult to swim against the current, the greater the reward will be in heaven. If we reach heaven, the greater our reward in heaven. The more difficult it was upon earth, the greater the reward in heaven. That's why the martyrs go straight to heaven. Those that give their lives for Christ, that go through a difficult death, a persecuted, maybe torturing death, go straight to heaven, because it's not easy to die for Christ. It's not easy to choose to die just because of what I believe in. I might die for my wife or my children if I try to protect, but to die for a God that you can't see because you're absolutely, you've got the faith that he exists and that he's offering heaven and it's through Jesus Christ and I need to die if necessary for Jesus Christ, it's not easy, and therefore there's a tremendous reward. Today, Catholics in many cases are living what you might call a dry martyrdom. It's not a bloody martyrdom. The blood is not yet flowing. It's been flowing in the communist countries for the Christian and Catholic martyrs. Christian martyrs, dying for Christ according to their religion, according to their understanding of the true religion. God sorts things out as only he can. But somebody who dies without dying for the Catholic faith is not, strictly speaking, a martyr. But those Catholic martyrs, there have been Catholic martyrs in recent years, maybe many of them in the communist countries until recently. And tomorrow there could easily be many martyrs again. At the beginning of the church there were martyrs, and at the end of the church there may be martyrs. There probably will be. There surely, under the Antichrist there will certainly be martyrs. And today also the situation is headed for the martyrdom of many Catholics. Well, let us think each day. Pray the rosary every day. It's very important to enlist the help and protection of the Mother of God. The rosary is very powerful. The rosary, and think, keep in front of my mind, heaven, hell, death, judgment. You may have noticed sometimes Orthodox Jews who have these little things dangling in front of their eyes. Actually, they don't see that very much, but they used to. They used to have these things because the scripture says, keep the law always in front of your mind. And so they literally put law on tiny little pieces of paper and then had the paper dangling in front of them. That's a very materialistic way of understanding it, of course. Keep the law, but the idea is true. Keep death, judgment, hell, and heaven, let us keep them constantly in front of our minds. And that will stop us from slipping with this, from drifting with this powerful current over the great waterfalls into hell. The modern world is like a great raft with lights on each corner and a band that's playing, and on this huge raft in the middle of a big river, there's a band playing and people are jiving and dancing and drinking and enjoying themselves. And yet, in the distance, isn't that the sound of a great waterfall? And then, through the night, I go up to the edge of the raft and I look, isn't that the foam, the spray rising from one of the great waterfalls? Hey, we're in great danger. The raft is drifting towards the waterfalls. It's going to go over and we're all going to die. Be quiet. Why don't you lighten up? Enjoy yourself. Get dancing again. Turn up the band so that he can't hear. Turn up the lights and turn up the band so that we can't see the foam and so that we can't see the spray and we can't hear the cascade. We don't forget about it. Let's enjoy while we can. And the raft gets closer and closer to the great waterfall and it's going over. My dear friends, that raft is quote-unquote civilization today. Civilization is like a great raft drifting towards its destruction. The Third World War could easily break out before the end of this year. I'm not saying it will. God knows. I don't know. But it could easily. And the reason why it could, I was saying last night, is because the President of the United States could easily be tempted by the internal troubles of the United States to distract the Americans with an external war. That's how it could easily be. So, my dear friends, this very strained and difficult situation may not last very much longer, but however long it lasts, by God's decision, you and I must persevere and keep the faith. Pray the rosary every day and keep thinking of those four things. Death, I'm going to die. Judgment, at that moment I will, before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, nobody else. Hell and heaven. And if I want to get heaven, it's only through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we will today, during this little ceremony of confirmation and during Mass, we will pray for those being confirmed that they keep the faith and be faithful soldiers of Christ, and that the Mother of God will look after them, take them under her mantle and look after them until they die, keeping them faithful in particular to the rosary every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.